everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 140. That's a big number. I'm still surprised we made it to 100. So 140. I mean, we're getting close to 150.
I just like that pause that you
Well, I just, it was a number. You know, I wrote it down, but I didn't really actually think about it when I wrote it.
It's real.
Yeah, exactly. Not that it really means anything, but it's just.
Well, it's 10 away from 150.
We've done 140 of these, and I've been at most of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Not all of them. I missed a couple. Well, sometimes I have to go away. Well, you guys did one just the other week when it was my daughter's birthday.
I know. People wrote in and said it was their favorite.
Did they? They wrote in? Yeah. That was something I have been meaning to talk about. If you guys do want to, I mean, there's the Facebook page that I know a lot of you talk, you know, converse with me on. Even Twitter, or you can always email me at Colin@PittsburghComics.com. If you ever want to say anything or have us talk about something, you know, give us some direction.
Did we get advice?
Complaints?
Did you get anything in the past week?
No.
You mentioned it last week.
Oh, did I? Okay. I haven't. No.
Maybe yeah, we should do a send your questions in.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe
no.
Drop the ball, everyone out there.
Maybe we should have a Facebook just for.
I mean, unless they're sending me emails about, you know, certain things that get deleted, but you know.
Maybe we should have one just for the podcast.
I could do that.
That way it separates a little bit.
There. Yeah.
You can post in both then. Both areas.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Good call.
Yes.
Good call.
So at Pittsburgh Comics Podcast at PittsburghComics.com. Yeah, that'd be a nice short one.
Something like that.
Or just Pittsburgh Comics Podcast.
Yeah. But it has to be at.
Well, they don't have to see that. They just see the Facebook name.
Yeah.
Oh, you wanted me to do a Facebook page just for the podcast? Oh, I thought you I thought you said make a special email for it. That's what I thought you said.
No, I didn't.
I thought that I could make an
What benefit would that
have? Did he drink any of this?
Too much spiked soda. This Sixers party got out of control.
I knew I should have put the vodka in it.
Serenity now.
Sixers, yes. We are having the Sixers party breaker that nobody came for, but
Yay.
That's okay. I really wasn't expecting anybody because
feelings were hurt.
You're telling them now to come by.
Yeah, come now. But I bought cookies.
Right
now
cookies and cider.
I know Michael was up, said he wasn't coming because I didn't have cake, but it was funny because I had sent him a picture of the last cake I got from Giant Eagle. That was the Marvel Now party. And
we're
I know
just
I, I know I posted I posted it on Facebook, and it literally just said they wouldn't do the image that Marvel sent, so they just literally wrote Marvel Now on a white cake in thin red letters. It was the most depressing thing, and I'm like, okay, so I brought it, and so he was asking why I wasn't going to do an Axis party, and I'm like, well, here's the last cake I got, and he did think it was the funniest thing ever. I thought about getting six plain cupcakes and writing Sixes.
I feel like this is why you shouldn't have an access party.
Why?
Because nobody's here.
Right. No. I mean, the parties were a neat idea when it when it started.
But they don't get anything out of doing it. Like,
no.
They're just coming to get their books. It's just not like. Like, do a promotion. Not you, personally, but, like, Marvel should do, like, a promotion.
Well, you can't really do anything with Axis in itself, only because...
I mean, even if they give out, like Green Lantern, they did the rings. Like,
right. And... Or, you know, if there was some way to cross, you know, hey, and all of a certain book would be on sale, but what am I going to do? This is an Uncanny Avengers event. All Uncanny Avengers stuff is on sale. You know, it just... It's a little
it's
narrow.
Or part of the roster.
Yeah, or all Avengers and all X-Men. Because I like that they changed the name of it to Avengers and X-Men Axis.
They're it's working like, off of, I don't know who does their, like, marketing.
Avengers and X-Men and Spider-Man and Wolverine Axis.
Yeah. Well, because kind of AVX did so well.
Yes.
Might as well put that
so we need
it.
A plus X Axis. And I remember when we saw the first Axis, it was the Avengers A
and then the X-Men,
and the X-Men X.
And then an I and an S.
Yeah.
They didn't even stick with that.
No, because then they made it Sixes. You know, yeah. So it got all
And
confusing.
A lot of people like that AX thing that they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did they abandon that?
Because they couldn't make that cool logo that you could read upside down, because I need a logo that I can read right side up and upside down. Am I negative towards Axis? I'm sorry.
Read it incorrectly both ways.
Yes. Sixes.
Well, being that I don't think you've been negative at all about it, like, to start, like, before the book came out, I don't think you, like, talked down because you didn't have anything.
He didn't get negative until the logo changed.
think well, it's sixes.
I just mocked it. Not so much negative. I just found it kind of funny.
That's true.
But the book itself. The book itself was fine. Did.
No, there's nothing wrong with the book. I have a few minor problems with it, but overall.
How many did you decide you sold?
27.
See, that seems kind of low for
That's really low for today. Yeah, considering I had...
But that's not you.
I had 90-some transactions.
That's what gets to me, though. I know some people...
No, I didn't talk down the book.
That you're like a DC store or whatnot.
No, but I mean, it's front and center. I ordered plenty. It's right at up front counter.
You bought cookies and all this for it, so...
I did. No, I did not promote the party, only because I knew there was no reason to. Yeah. I don't know. The book was fine. Just a little preview. The only thing I didn't like about the book. Now, basically, it's spinning out of Uncanny Avengers. So if you haven't been reading that, I guess it's a little confusing. And basically, what has happened in Uncanny Avengers is, well, when it started, Red Skull got Professor X's body and removed his brain, and now has somehow implanted it in his head. So he's using it to kind of broadcast all of his hate and to mind control people.
That guy.
And so...
so nefarious.
And then now he was trying to do something with Magneto, and Magneto was too strong for him mentally, or he had the helmet on or something. But basically Magneto then crushed his skull, you know, took some bricks and smashed his head in.
That worked.
But that did not kill him. All that did was basically release... Red Onslaught, which is the Onslaught version of Red Skull or something. So now you have this huge Red Skull Onslaught thing with these snake tentacles out his back. I didn't quite understand the Lovecraftian Cthulhu tentacles coming out of his back. And that's kind of where you start, is all this stuff's going on and all of a sudden he's broadcasting all over the earth and the whole world's going crazy and they have to go stop him. The only problem I had with the book is there's a lot of really weirdly timed humor and coming from people that doesn't quite make sense. It starts off, everything's very jokey. Something in Los Angeles, like, I don't remember who it was, but it's basically like Poison Ivy has taken over and there's all this overgrowth and stuff and they're arriving. They're like, oh, I like what they did with the place. You know, it's the Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, Vision, Hawkeye, Hulk. And comments like that, and Vision basically says you should treat everything green as a potential enemy, and somebody else responds, even Kale? And someone else, especially Kale. It's just, this is how the book's opening, and it just was really weird. You're just reading it going, my Avengers don't talk like this. And then later on...
not one of them said Avengers Assemble.
Storm and Colossus are cracking jokes because...
Storm's never fun.
Somebody shows up and talking about the Summers family, and they show up and they're like, oh, you never saw the reunion pictures, and you haven't seen so-and-so do his funny dance, and it's just, right behind you. And it just was seemed out of place and weird for, you know, with Colossus making a finishing strike, finishing it with a joke, you know, you're just reading it going... This is just not right. So, it was fine. You know, big event book. The entire world is in peril again.
Is it tied into the X-Men books as well?
I don't know. There's a ton of tie-ins. I don't remember specifically. It'll,
like
yeah.
It would.
Right.
And it seems like what Marvel would do.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, if it was a self-contained Avengers event, like, I think I'd be better with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's not... Well, because remember, it's not tying into Avengers... Because Avengers is now 7 months later, which is just another concern of mine just in the...
I thought that tied into Axis.
No, because 7 months is after Axis. Yeah, so that's my only confusion with that is how much weight do you give Axis when we're already reading stories that take place post-Axis?
So everything worked out.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I guess if you don't see any characters, you'll know they didn't make it.
I was concerned. I thought I'd read it, and then I said...
So yeah, that just struck me as a little odd. Because, I mean, like, with Future's End is 5 years later, but especially 5 years in comic book time, you know, how long ago did Peter Parker, you know, graduate high school?
About 50 years, I guess.
Right, but I'm just saying in comic book time, it hasn't been that long. So I'm just saying
Spider-Man's 50 years old.
No, he's not. Doc Ock might be.
No, he's the same age as Peter. No.
So yeah, that was my only problem with Axis is in why would you be telling stories that come shortly after Axis already? But
I mean, were the eyes facing in the right directions?
Yeah, it was Andy Kubert. I had no trouble with the eyes.
People like the new Batman arc that's just now starting takes place after Eternal, mm-hmm. which is still only halfway through. So
yeah.
I guess it could work.
Right. So. But just in Batman Eternal, the world's not in crisis and, you know, threatened to fall under the boot of the Red Skull.
Reading Batman Eternal?
I have, yeah.
The pieces.
Yeah. It is. I'm but it's just them. Hush. Hush. I don't know if I read the last one.
I think he overuses that in the book.
Hush?
He says hush.
Hush.
Like, a lot. We get it, sir. Shh. We get it. Your name's Hush.
Makes different things make the shh. Sound.
It would be like if Joker ended all of his sentences with, that was a joke.
Yeah, that'd be just like it.
Okay.
Would you prefer laughter to end?
Yeah, or just sentence? A ha, you know, to every sentence. Yeah.
Well, he does that.
But, okay, news. Or not news, but TV season is upon us. And Flash premiered last night.
Freaking.
No, it's not breaking news.
It's breaking. Things got broken.
But things got broken in Flash. But I thought it was good. I thought it was neat that it kind of tied back into what we already knew. You know, we kind of saw stuff from before.
Yeah.
You know, before the explosion and everything, instead of just jumping in there.
When I started watching it, how it was going to tie in. Like, how, like, because they were starting him without powers, and we already saw him get his powers, so it was going to, like, backtrack us just a little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah.
And then bring us right to that mm-hmm. event. Like, even they mentioned, like, he was just in Starling City.
Yeah, and they didn't drag it out. It was pretty, you know, right to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought they got in the first bad guy, the first rogue. I'm rewatching it, and I'm only about halfway through, but I like little things, like when he went running after the Weather Wizard and kind of jumped in the car, and he was as confused as the other guy was, so I thought that was kind of neat.
He phased through it.
Yeah.
Because he can do that. I always like that about Flash. He can do that. I liked how I liked how well they did it. I think they did such a good job with this as a show. I think they did actually better with Arrow, but it makes sense because, like, this being a spinoff, they were able to tie it together with Arrow, and I think they did it just enough. Like, they didn't overdo it. Like, this throw it in your face the whole episode. This happened in Arrow. This happened in Arrow. They kept it pretty self-contained, but they brought him in enough to make a point that how it fits in and all that, how Arrow can fit into this. Yeah, just everything just ran so smoothly.
It
like,
felt very polished, too.
Yeah, polished, that's a good word.
Yeah, it just, everything just went, like, great throughout it. They introduced you to characters, very nice. Like, they did a really good job introducing characters. Weather Wizard, I thought they did well with. He's not, like, my favorite, but even mm-hmm. for a non-favorite rogue... That's who you would probably start with, is somebody like a rogue, but not like your top one.
Yeah, not
Captain Cold. Give it a few times. I think he still did good. Like, even the scene, like, the special effects in it were really nice.
Yeah, now hopefully that continues with the show.
They didn't use all the budget on that one episode.
Break the bank for the pilot, and that's it.
Yeah, like when he takes off on the plane. And
he takes off on the plane.
And the, whatever that... thing is explodes,
and the effects whenever at the very beginning, like with the aquarium and then with the chemicals, like it all looked
I felt bad for that one goldfish though. And did you see he got like all the other ones are still in the water, he was actually floating outside of it. But I thought like the guy who played his dad, who was originally the Flash, I thought he did a good job, but mm-hmm. he seems kind of eerie still. Like the last scene when he's sitting in the prison and they're Barry and him are talking to each other, he seemed like it felt like he knew something, like more than what he let off. He was a little quiet still, and he was a little too positive. Even though I understand, like, he was going through and he was just like, if you believe me, that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
And all that. But since the beginning, like, once he walks in, the guy just seemed really positive. So I think there's more to him that they're letting on. I don't think he killed him, because I know that.
He doesn't feel like someone who's been in prison for all those years.
Yeah, especially since he wasn't, he didn't do anything. So, I don't know. Is there anything
else? You got to finish that, man.
No, I thought it was cool how they used the particle accelerator explosion to explain
the creation of these metahumans.
How everybody's going to get the powers.
Yeah.
Either Rogues and even the new heroes.
Which, I guess we can ask everybody, what Rogues are you, do you like the best? I like Captain Cold. I do like Mirror Master.
I like Captain Cold a lot. I'll be honest, when I first started reading Flash, I thought the Rogues were kind of very cheesy.
Yeah.
But they grew me. I like Captain Cold a lot. Mirror Master's good. Weather Wizard I wasn't a big fan of.
No, I've never been a fan of it. What's the other one? It's
Pied Piper. There's
Pied Piper,
the Trickster.
And there's she's not a.
I guess Heat Rogue, Wave.
Yeah, Heat Wave.
Heat Wave. Yeah.
I don't.
There's Captain Cold's sister too.
The Glider.
Yeah.
I've always I like Captain Cold. I think he's my favorite because he's always on that edge, like that line where he's not necessarily bad, but he's not good.
Well, I think they all are. They're bad guys, but they have a code.
Yeah.
Normally, and that's the one thing that with Weather Wizard in this first episode, you didn't get that code or
honor. Yeah, probably because they haven't gotten together yet.
That's true. So it might change, but with the normal Rogues, I mean, they always seem like they're bad guys, but they're not evil.
Uh-huh.
I guess not super villains or anything.
Did so much to fit in that first episode. They just didn't give Weather Wizard a lot of.
I'm not knocking the first exposition. Episode.
I hope he's not dead. Because they didn't shoot him in the chest, three times?
Yeah. He's meta-human.
Yeah, come on. Now.
Unless they're just like, he's the one nobody really likes that much. Let's just off him off for a fact.
That no one likes Weather Wizard.
We'll put in our own guy, the thing I like about Mirror Master, though, is, there's something creepy about him, you know?
Yeah.
How he can just move through mirrors and, it just, something about him, it's just a, kind of a cool character.
Just pops up
whatever. That'll make a cool visual.
Oh, yeah, that's why. That's
do that for sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of the one I'm excited for, but I'm really excited for the next one just because of Captain Cold. I just want to see how they're going to do it. Yeah. Finally, you're getting a nice character that isn't Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Chill out.
Chill out. Yeah, but let's see. I'm making sure I don't leave anything out. The
nice little twist at the end.
The police officer, Iris's father,
Joe West.
Yeah, there were some things that I didn't like about him, and it was not just him as an actor. Like, he did fine. It was some of his dialogue didn't make any sense sometimes.
Every now and then, for the most part,
he came in with something. I was like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that?
No, he was created just for the show. I mean,
yeah.
He worked. I mean, I like the
character. He worked as what he was. Also, it does follow a very tight formula to some little things that compared to Arrow that are kind of the same thing. He's his girlfriend, so to say, is also the daughter of a police officer, which is the same as Arrow.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. There were little similarities, but all in all, I think this was the perfect, one of these. I haven't seen one that did so well of just tying everything together.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about what I really like about this, and a lot of people keep saying, DC, they're not doing everything right. Marvel, they know what they're doing. You got to look at this. DC is taking this, and they're putting... TV is, one of the... It does... The TV actors get paid a lot more these days than they used to. And the whole thing about it is, DC and Warner Brothers are taking these characters, and they're putting them right into your home. Unlike the movie theater where you go and see Marvel movies where, you have to go. And not a lot of people, I know people that some people have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy. And they're going to wait until it comes out. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Guardians of the Galaxy or anything, which there isn't. I loved it. But I don't think they're doing anything wrong. I really don't. You know, I think what they're doing with these, you know, I think their formula, they really need to just stick with how Arrow did, how Flash is doing, and then go from there.
Yeah, and it works with those two. Now, as their TV properties get bigger, it's not going to work as well because they won't be all connected together.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm a little concerned about.
But if they all can maintain that same feel, then I think they'll... It would be a solid move. That's the one issue I have, I guess, with Gotham now, three episodes in, that it still seems... I mean, it's only three episodes in, but it's hit or miss.
Yeah. Well, and you know what the thing about Gotham is? Gotham doesn't necessarily have to connect. No, the only thing that throws it off is the timeline, because, you know, Gotham, it's supposed to take place in the present, which it could not really connect very well with these shows.
Yeah, but, like... And Arrow's not exactly subtle either, but, you know, the Flash pilot worked really well because everything felt natural. Nothing felt forced. It all felt like it was happening as it should. Gotham, three episodes in now, feels very on the nose. Everything feels very, you know, like shoved like in your face.
Yeah.
How many times are you going to tell me how bad this city is? Like, we can see how bad it is. You don't have to keep saying it every single scene.
Yeah.
So hopefully that dies down a little bit.
One of my main things about these shows, especially with Arrow and Flash, I really don't see any reason why they can't tie into the movies, why they can't figure out a way to do this, because I think it would be smart on their part. Because unlike Marvel, I think they have a lot more successful with the TV show. And if they can fit, I mean, they don't have to make these characters. I think Flash could fit in a movie. I think this actor could do fine.
Flash could fit in. I'm not so sure about Arrow.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Arrow myself, but you don't necessarily have to have Arrow in the team. But Flash, you definitely have to have in a Justice League movie.
Yeah, and it's not the actor that plays Arrow. I think he would be fine. It's just the way, the feel that Arrow has.
Uh-huh.
It still has that CW teen drama feel to it, dialogue. Flash felt like a movie, almost.
Yeah.
Where the pilot was. It wasn't...
It reminded me a lot of, Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's
It really did. I wouldn't say so much the newer... some of the newer ones.
Probably more like the Raimi.
Yeah. Spider-Man. I could see a little bit of both, though, in it. Everything was very, the actor himself, little things like that. And, you know, everything was bright, which it should be in Flash. I like the mention of Keystone.
Yeah.
Just mentioning Keystone City. I don't know. I feel like it worked really well. I think really they have something with these shows that they're doing. Because I already can tell this will make it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I usually don't make that, assumption as the first episode, but with this, I thought they did a really good job. Because sometimes, have you ever watched a spinoff that is just not very, you'll watch a spinoff and you're just like, yeah, okay, you know, this is
It's
okay.
Almost like a watered-down version of what it spun off from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this, it kept the formula, but it had everything on its own.
It didn't feel like it was just a cash grab to get that Arrow audience. It felt like it was something that was in a standalone.
And it's totally different feel than Arrow 2, which works in its favor.
Yeah, and everything was done right. Like, that's what I felt like. Everything was done right. Like, they did, when they did bring Arrow onto the episode, to bring him in, to show, people, just for the, basically it was for the shock, not shock value, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, so everybody could be like, oh, it's Arrow, you know, this is what it came from. They had that, but they didn't overdo it. Like, he came, he went. Like, that was it. And then he did what he was supposed to do, and that was it. He didn't, guest star on the whole episode and help him.
He was really, there for 30 seconds.
It was great how they tied it together and told him to get up to wear a mask.
Yeah, he told him to take your own advice, wear a mask. Yeah. Did I mention special effects?
Yeah.
The effects were nice. Like, him, the run-in, the colors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The weather stuff, the tornado was really cool. The tornado coming through the barn, and when they're standing outside of it, it explodes out of the roof of the barn. Like, I just thought that was really well done. Yeah, and the like the phasing thing you were talking about where he phased through inside the car. But now, I thought it was a little early for everyone, people to see his face, though. Like, Weather Wizard saw him, so if he's still alive, he's like, oh, that's that guy that was the flyer guy running around.
It's on one hand, it's good, though, to have, you know, a few people that know who he is. So that way, you can kind of build a conversation within the show. Like
that I did like. But, like, Weather Wizard, I was a little more concerned about, because I was like, his villain just saw him, so I hope he's dead. Because I don't think he would be, though.
I was surprised that, like, they had Iris's dad see who he was.
Yeah.
Because for some reason his mask, like, came off. Or whatever. I thought they were just limited to the Star Labs people. But.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's kind of neat. He has, like, his own coffin. Like, they all take that page out of Batman. Mm-hmm. Because he always has to have an inside man. These superheroes all have to have an inside cop.
But he's the inside man.
Who? Oh, yeah, he is a cop. But, I mean, this guy's actually, like, a police officer. Like, not necessarily a crime scene investigator.
And then a lot of teases for what can come up with Caitlin Snow.
Yeah.
And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy Vibe. Yeah,
yeah, Vibe. And then also... Ronnie Raymond's going to be in it, right?
Yeah. And the big twist ending where, they said it's... And then it came out that might be Professor Zoom. And then you already have Eddie Thane or Thawne, who's the two different versions of the Reverse Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So we don't know yet who killed Mom. We thought we did at first, but now it's getting muddied.
Intrigued.
Yes. Dun-dun-dun!
Wasn't Reverse Flash? What year was he from? Does anybody remember off the top of their head?
Well, I know it was in the 80s when...
No, I mean his actual, like, what future he comes from.
Oh, that, no.
Because I don't think it was... In the comics, I think it was a lot later than 2024.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because that's very soon. I'll have to look that up just to see. But, it was a really good show. I thought it did really well. That was the one I had the highest hopes for. I really did, since the beginning. Because I said... Because we've already seen...
The second one's what? I Zombie? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little worried about Constantine.
Here's the DVR set.
Constantine's the one that I'm a little bit worried
about. I am not sold on that from the trailer at all.
I just... Yeah. I'm not, no. I think it's going to be a little harder. I mean, when you put somebody out there like Flash...
What is... The one thing this one's going to do is it's going to give you the more mystical, the more...
demon,
that kind of thing. If you do it right, it'll work. I mean, because look at the show Supernatural. That's been on for how many
Seasons or even like
now.
Sleepy Hollow.
But then some people see that and they're like, I've seen this before. Not necessarily Constantine, but they've seen too many shows like that. I think it just has a lot of things that might not sell to people.
They just have to tie it into the greater DC Universe, like the Flash is.
But see, that's where it's hard because they have it on different networks. Now, they might still be able to do because they're all Warner Brothers shows.
They could center on the dark corner of Dr. Fade, and if they have the helmet and all kinds of
stuff. That's the thing.
That
if they
could
try to do
and
stuff.
And not,
like
have, like, not have like villains or
bring in more
allies.
Dark.
That
yeah,
heard
more
of
like a Justice League Dark show, and then Flash
it's
is more of a Justice League
it.
Show.
It really is.
I mean, they've already teased possible like
Arrow's Justice League United. Hey, wait a minute. I figured it out.
That's what people want to see is just references.
I want to see a Swamp Thing show. That'd be awesome.
Wasn't it?
I have the DVDs.
That was no good. Let's not talk about that one. A real Swamp Thing show.
San Diego Comic Con, they handed out the business cards.
Uh-huh.
Where if you called in, you got Constantine's voicemail, and it mentioned Colin and Swamp Thing. So maybe you'll see those sorts of characters in the show.
I hope. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's on a day that I have nothing else to watch.
If the show's not cheesy, if it's done well, I think it'll work.
And then they have a chance, if it shows up in Constantine, then they can spin it out into...
Yeah.
You know, as seen in, that kind of thing. Basically, like what they did with Flash. So.
But, like, DC is just taking over television. They're jumping in the movies, frankly.
They're not taking over. They have three good shows right now. So.
No,
how many good movies did
over,
Marvel have? Well, you said taking over. Want me to rewind it?
Yeah.
They're taking over.
You'll have to stop the whole show just to rewind it. No, I mean,
I'll just do it in post-production, don't worry.
They're spreading out throughout, and which
post production.
Because that's a thing.
If you guys saw how this was post-produced, you'd laugh.
But yeah. Fun.
I take the tape out of the recorder. No.
It'll be interesting to see what happens whenever
you throw it in your disc drive.
Marvel's Netflix shows debut.
Yeah. Let's see if there's a comparison.
Are they all debuting at the same time?
I don't know.
Not much said yet about that. Mm-mm. Maybe we'll know more about New York.
Well, they're introducing the cast at the New York Comic Con this weekend. So
for just Daredevil or for all the shows?
I think just for Daredevil, but...
You'd think they'd be filmed by now for as long as we've heard about this.
Yeah. Well, at least Daredevil.
And they're still casting all this stuff. So.
Yeah. Because with Netflix, they have to film them all in advance because they put them all up there.
Yep.
So how do we like Gotham?
I've liked Gotham a lot. Well, I mean, it's not a great show, but I think it's a good... It's a good show.
It's a show with a lot of promise.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm getting tired of things being so on the nose.
Yeah. No, but I think there's a lot of little things. Like, I love how in the first scene, this last one, where the bad guy had the pig mask and then discards it. I'm like, that was great. Enough. It clearly wasn't Professor Pig.
Yeah, but it like...
But just, yeah, it just, it gave you that, which I thought was great. And then I loved the ending. I thought that was great, and it's setting up a whole world of problems for Jim Gordon off the bat. I don't understand what's going on with his girlfriend. Something weird is there. Well, not even just her and Montoya, but clearly there's a past, and what is her past? What is she? I don't understand what her job is. She just seems to be sitting around the apartment. Is she an attorney?
Art gallery.
Art gallery.
They said that at one point in time she runs an art gallery.
They should show her there or something.
Yeah, show her at the art gallery once in a while.
Yeah.
They haven't built that set yet.
Yeah. But I think Bullock is almost perfect.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of what he is in the comic, you know, he's not a corrupt cop, but he's not.
This guy plays him a little more energetic than how we see him. Usually you see him kind of slow. And I like this more energetic feel of Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing is that all the cops seem like they're Bullock.
Yeah.
In terms of how they
I think they need to tone that down a little because 99% of the cops in that precinct are just horrible people who don't care about this, about serving the public. I mean,
I don't think Gordon really needs to worry about it because they're just getting taken off one by one.
Yeah. Well, I like the one scene where he's beating up the guys to get information, then he beats them up just to get the. I was hungry. Yeah, I thought that was funny. That just seemed right, you know. I don't know. I've enjoyed it. But, yeah, I love that penguin thing at the end. I thought that was good.
Yeah, all that penguin stuff. So I think that he just nails that character.
Yeah, I think he's been the best part of the show far.
I still kind of have a problem with Bruce. I don't think...
He's a little creepy.
He's creepy and, like, that whole time, there was no need to even see him in the last episode. They just kept flashing back to him. And how many times is it? All he does is eat. He reminds me of what's his name from Breaking Bad, Walter Jr. Where all he was doing was eating because like they were trying to drag that point into you that he's Batman. So when Alfred brings him food, he's gonna be like, not now, Alfred. You know, it's just like, come on, we don't really need to know.
Hang on,
now, Walter Jr. was Batman. That'd be a show.
That would be something. thinking about it. I don't know. There was no need for him. And as Colin was just saying, like I've been saying, he's just creepy. Like, he's way too weird. Like, the kid needs help. Like, and I think they're taking their... He's coming on a little too strong with that.
They don't need to show every single character, every single episode.
Yeah.
Like, they
didn't necessarily, because, like, we didn't see Riddler. We saw Catwoman just enough. Yeah. Like, I think that's the only one that one actually does matter in the show, I think. She just works. But the show should directly be most about, like, the criminal underworld and the police. And all we really need to know... Like, Bruce shouldn't be in every episode. He could be in, like, every 5 episodes, and it would be better, because we don't need him. Unless there's some sort of reason to need him, then put him in. But otherwise, I couldn't see any reason why, if you cut every one of those scenes out with him and Alfred... If it would hurt the show,
it feels like they're worried to
not have him,
to let the show stand on its own as what it is, as like a Gotham Central type show,
yeah.
And instead want can't cut that tie with
that people Batman. Have to see. But the whole thing about it is, like, and this is me, like, and I was saying this yesterday while watching it, I was like, unless that kid is in a bat suit, I could care less. Like, I could care less. No, that's why we don't have all these books about Bruce Wayne as a kid. Like, nobody cares until he's, like...
The early years?
It's kind of funny, because if you notice, all of it lines up the same as, like, in the Bible with Jesus. Because, like...
Wait, you just called Batman Jesus?
Nothing. Adult years. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, that was always missing out of the Bible, which is the same as Batman. But, yeah, it is.
The views expressed here on this podcast are held by the people expressing them.
Held by the owner?
And are not the property of Pittsburgh Comics?
No, it's just a similarity.
Speaking of which, I realize we haven't introduced ourselves. So let's do this.
I think they know by now.
I figure they would, but I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Josh.
Adam.
And address all your Jesus hate mail to Adam, please.
Who has Jesus hate mail?
Well, not... No, but I mean, your... How could you possibly say...
I'm sure there's a lot of atheists out there that have Jesus hate mail.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you have some to send in, send it to Adam. It's his fault. You know, this is the same guy who was doing the Sieg Heil on the show the other day.
Nobody
when I wasn't
saw
here.
That.
But you talked about it enough. Just address all that to Adam.
We're drawing a lot of attention to these Nazi antics.
Yeah, Adam.
It was Hydra.
So, and
if Marvel could do it, create a Nazi team with Hydra.
Pat's not here because he's in Boston. He was going to Skype in, but he never called. So, I guess we'll have to ban him like we banned Adam. So,
yeah, he never came back.
Yeah, he's been shunned. We're going to shun him now.
No, but I mean, that's the whole thing. It just, I think that's my only real complaint with the show. How about that old woman that was walking her dog? Did anybody else was just like,
well,
why?
What are the chances that the balloon, you know, wouldn't have carried out somewhere, you know? That was a little bit of
a... I also had another issue with the balloons.
Like, why didn't the cop...
Shoot it?
Shoot it.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't seem to understand that they would eventually come down.
Even so, still, when the balloon's taking up, you have a gun right there. It's like right by your hand.
Yeah, the cop that was going up in the balloon, he had his gun, and you could see it.
It was right
like
there.
It was a shoulder holster, and it was hanging from him. All he had to do was grab it and shoot the balloon. He had enough time.
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting there watching it.
But what's funny, at the end, then they shot the balloon.
Yeah. Also, over my shoulder, I hear my fiance say, shoot it. You have a gun. Shoot it.
I was just like, okay. And we never saw him fall out of the sky, I guess. I don't know. We don't know which one fell out of the sky. Which one landed on that poor old woman.
I thought it was the cop guy. Maybe not.
I was just watching that. I was just like, what did she do? Then I was like, it's Gotham. I'm sure she did something. She probably kidnapped that dog she was walking.
Corrupt dog walking.
Yeah. But,
he's going to teach him a lesson with his award, or teach her a lesson with his award.
The city itself is kind of neat.
Like, scenes like that, that's the kind of scenes I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, where it's over the top. But, like, the scenes I did like were the penguin, like, I'm home. Yeah. You know, everything was right. You know, the people getting mugged and everything. I did like that. Hey, I need those shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What size shoe do you have? Great. Now I'm going to kill you.
The actor reminds me of the guy who played Ben Linus on Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind of eerie feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have played like a younger version of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, he did, the guy who did Ben Linus did the Joker's voice on that Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the Joker in that cartoon animated movie. Mm. So he is not a Batman villain. The city itself, I like. It's like it's not always filmed at night. Which, when you think of Gotham, you think it's always night, and it's not. But it's always overcast, and you can tell they add clouds. Like, they add this overcast over because I'm sure it's not overcast every day they're shooting. But it's just dark enough. It has everything going on that's going on. Like, I like how the penguin, he gets out of his car and all sorts of crime is happening right in front of him. And he's just like, yeah, I'm home, you know. I just, so far, so good. First episode, I was a little still. I was just like, eh. Second episode, I really liked. And this third one, I loved. I really did. Just the crime itself. Like, have you ever seen that in a TV show before? Balloons?
No, and it's... the things that work really well. I hope that they dial it down a little bit.
Yeah.
As it gets its footing, I guess.
And it's basically just a cop drama.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It's not necessarily a superhero show. It's a cop drama, but it's characters that are familiar with people that like comic books. But if you don't, I think you could still jump into the show and be perfectly fine.
Still watch it,
and understand. So, no, it's really good. What else came on?
Next Shield.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but you guys can talk about it.
I thought I didn't watch last night's, but I thought I enjoyed the stuff they did with the Absorbing Man. I thought they did him very well.
Yeah, they've been doing well with the villains, I guess. Last night's wasn't bad. It had some good parts to it.
Okay.
What's the guy's name? Blizzard.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah. Was in it.
Was Ward in it? Mopey Ward.
Mopey Ward.
I'm trying to kill myself because I love you so much, Sky. Because that's what I want to see.
Is Sky the monkey?
No, there's no monkey yet. Oh. Or she hasn't been turned into a monkey.
Monkey.
Oh. Okay.
Sky should be a monkey.
There was some. I mean, you got to see some training with Sky for May.
Okay.
Which was, you know, good to kind of show how she's getting these skills.
I like last night's episode. Simmons is now a double agent.
That's this week's. Yeah. That was yesterday, last night.
Yeah, last night's, yeah. For Hydra. And I like that they split them up,
mm-hmm.
Fitz and Simmons.
It's working real well for Fitz.
So,
he was a
just so they could get...
see him turning into Rain Man.
He's taking his meds.
Definitely going to be a good scientist. Definitely. 423 toothpicks. 423 toothpicks. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. To the brain damaged, yes.
Send all your... Is that what you just said? Send all your...
Send your other hate mail, too.
Pat?
Rain Man wasn't brain damaged.
Yeah, he was.
Rain Man?
Pretty much the exact same
thing.
Rain
Man was autistic.
No, but didn't he... He held him... Oh, that's right. No, he held the other kid under the tub. I remember one of them got held.
Yeah, he did.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I'm sorry.
I think he was still...
But I remember one of them got held under the tub.
Yeah, he held him under the tub because he had this fear of, like, water. Yeah.
Okay. I just remember somebody got held under the water, and that's what happened to Fitz. He was under the water. That's just where I was going.
That's where Fitz got his superpowers. That's his origin
Fitz
story.
Fitz doesn't have any superpowers.
Well, it depends on how you look at superpowers.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is actually a prequel to Rain Man.
Stop.
Ward is Tom Cruise's character.
Oh, well. Why did you bring that up? What were we talking about?
And Arrow premieres tonight, so we really can't talk about it because it's probably on like either right now or in 15 minutes. So, when you're listening to this, you have already seen it, and we have not. So.
We should watch it and comment on it like MST3K style.
Yes, we'll watch it live here.
Yeah.
No, I want to go home. not right now, but...
I got a DVR.
That was pretty abrasive.
No, I don't want to sit here for another hour and 15 minutes. Been here long enough.
Like we have cookies, we have cider.
You're drinking it all.
We have plenty of sixes.
We have lots of sixes. We could do a dramatic reading of sixes.
We could do paper mache.
We could make a bird, a brooch, a pterodactyl.
I'll give you $1 for each of those.
Dave knew what movie I was talking about.
I didn't hear what you said.
Airplane.
They're going to sell. I know those sixes are going to sell.
How did Original Sin do, like with the first issue?
Good. Well, I mean, it's early to tell. It's only the first day. It's kind of like the Nielsen's. You can't judge everything on the first day.
Isn't the first day like the big day, though?
It's the day I'm probably going to sell the most, but, you know, I've sold over a third, so I'm sure I'll...
That's my other real concern about Axis is just the fact that we jumped out of an event. We just got out of an event.
Well, that, like I said, that was my big problem.
I want to get back on story.
I was reading a story before Original Sin 8 came out where they were already talking about post-Axis event. I'm like... Slow down, guys.
Are there arcs anymore to Marvel Comics? Like, do they have story arcs?
Are the events?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, there aren't any, like, unless you're reading something that never ties into it, like Daredevil.
That tied in?
I guess Spider-Verse.
Well, just for that little.
Two issues? I guess out of eight?
But it didn't affect it that much.
Because Spider-Verse doesn't tie in.
I'm trying to give them the benefit
but
of the
doubt. But the two Spider-Man issues were Original Sin issues, which actually killed the sales because people were like, oh, well, I'm not reading Original Sin, so I'm not going to read this Spider-Man
issue. And that was hurt anyways because it just started. Like, why would they do that?
They do that all the time.
But yeah, what are we talking about?
Next big one, Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Canceling Fantastic Four forever.
I know it's not forever.
No, it's for like it's 2 months, and then they'll relaunch another one.
Well, they won't until that movie like is done.
Isn't that book fairly new as it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wanting it gone, so they don't get any publicity. So they don't see any publicity.
Which is just so petty, and it's like,
yeah.
For as much as Marvel wants to, oh, we're so great. It's like when you're being run by somebody who's that petty.
It isn't really going to make any difference.
I think Bleeding Cool had an interview with Chris Claremont the other day where he said that there's kind of a mandate right now with the X-Books where they can't create any new characters unless they're created as part of some other like Marvel Now event.
And I thought it was funny because Nick commented on that on Facebook saying, you know, this is proof that Marvel and DC are just IP farms. And I'm sitting going, what does this have to do with DC
what
at
DC
all?
Do?
Because they didn't sell their rights to other companies. So anything DC creates, they can use. Yeah. So, and I don't see them being used as IP farms. I'm sitting here going, Flash, Green Arrow, you know.
Yeah, it's their core characters that they've had forever.
Yeah, so.
Like you said, it's petty. It doesn't make it. It's not going to do anything. What's the point? There's no point. I mean, maybe the books aren't selling, but I guess they were selling, like, to some people.
They're
out
selling
there,
enough.
Instead of selling none.
Yeah. If anything, you'd think that they would look at it as, we're not making money on that movie, but that movie's going to get interest in our books, possibly.
But that doesn't even, that's the whole thing. Like, it doesn't, it's almost like they don't pay attention to what they're doing. Like, it's not like all of a sudden Guardians of the Galaxy comes out, now you're like, they're flying off the shelves, Guardians of the Galaxy, because of the movie. It's the other way around. They just go see the movies. You don't get a lot of people that just come in looking for books.
Well, Guardians has because people aren't... Like, when the Spider-Man movie comes out, there's not a ton of people coming for Spider-Man books. But
how about Avengers?
Not so much
with Spider-Man
books. Right, where Guardians was new. That was a new property.
So it either works for them or it doesn't.
But like, yeah, Fantastic Four's already had two movies, so a third movie isn't
going to... The comic books are not going to be publicity for... The movies. It's not like somebody's going to walk into a comic book store and be like, Fantastic Four, I better go see that movie.
Right, but the problem is the guy that's making this decision is the same guy who I read about where they'd had to put print memos on the backs of other memos to save paper and things. So, you know, so he can see.
And then they use that paper to print their comics.
Well, no, that's good paper. You wouldn't use good paper to print. Oh, sorry.
Toilet paper. It just... I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense because the thing, it can only help them having any movie out. They're not paying for this Fantastic Four movie.
It's
all going through Fox.
Make a percentage of that, don't they?
Yeah, they make it because they still own some, you know, to their character.
So why wouldn't they? I mean,
and the only thing you can do is all of a sudden you'll have a kid who gone saw the movie, may have liked it, come back and buy the book. What's the problem?
There's no downside. Unless there's something in the contract that says if the movie doesn't do well, then rights go back to Marvel.
Which it doesn't... That still goes back to the fact that nobody... It's not their books that are going to make the movie do well. It's going to be the other way around, if anything. That doesn't even make any sense. It's not like Avengers sales... Or you know, it's not like the books made a bunch of kids were reading Avengers books, and that's why they went to go see the movie.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case. Now, people that were reading Avengers and have been reading Avengers before, they have. But it's not like you had a bunch of kids in here reading these books, and then they were just like, well, we better go see this movie because they're making a movie on this comic book we're reading. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. I have no idea what the point of this is. And... My other problem with this is that obviously now the movies have... It's so obvious now that the movies have so much control over the comic books. And that's what it said to me, straight out.
Yeah.
It said to me that Marvel, this is what they care about. And yeah, okay, it's making them money. But, you know, this is, as I've always said, it's kind of a slap in the face to the fans that are fans. You got Fantastic Four fans that do come in. They read this stuff, you know. And their sales might not be that well, but are you really going to be that petty that you're going to cut off your nose to spite your face because you know you don't want you're not wanting to give them publicity? The newsflash, you know, you're not getting any publicity from that. So that's why I said I don't know who does their marketing or whatever, but like I don't know that much about marketing, but this seems like common sense that this is obviously not the case. Which just leads me to the fact that we're missing something. That's the only thing I can feel, that they're not telling something of why they're doing this. This isn't necessarily the reason.
They don't tell those things?
Yeah.
I know. What if the movie's really good and then somebody
comes in and they'll bring out the next month, we'll be hearing about a new Fantastic Four series.
Fantastic Four book I can read. They're not published.
Well,
they're not printing them because they're dumb. You know, they're dumb and they're not printing books. You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
That's not a current comic.
It's either keep the books that you have going for the readers that you're reading, or, you know, and leave them there because you're already selling it, as opposed to cutting it and not selling anything.
I mean, they're quick to cancel.
Yeah.
Regardless, anyway.
Who, Marvel?
Yeah.
Marvel's not, I wouldn't say quick to cancel, because there's books on the shelf that I can look at that I'm just like, why is this, She-Hulk? Why is She-Hulk still out? You know? Why did Dark Avengers go so long? Like, why? Why is Secret Avengers still going?
Just because you're not reading it doesn't mean nobody's reading it.
Dave's reading Secret Avengers.
Yeah, well, way to go. Way to go.
But
you just said
it wasn't. It wasn't doing very well when it first came out.
It's in a very acquired taste.
Yeah.
Secret Avengers, though, had another volume.
It's like sauerkraut, you know?
Like, it just got renumbered in new creative team. It's completely different now than it was a year ago.
But really, there are books on the shelf. Like, at least I can see that, like, DC will cancel a book pretty quick.
I feel like DC gives the book a chance, at least, to, you know, get...
Mm-hmm. But they know, like, when to put a bullet in it. Like, sometimes I think, like, they don't... And they bring out books that nobody... What? Who in their right mind would think the Cyclops book would sell?
Well, but then you can say the same thing. Who thinks a Clarion, the Witch Boy book, could sell?
Well, that's true.
Well, Clarion, but it's from an A-plus author.
Who is on
it? Anne Nesenti.
Oh, yeah.
That was sarcasm.
Yeah.
No, I just, but still, I see it a lot more from Marvel than I see from DC.
Does she listen to the podcast? Did I say something I shouldn't have said?
I don't know. We'll find out, I bet.
Not anymore.
But as I've
no
said,
longer a friend of
Miss Nesenti, please send the hate mail to Josh at PittsburghComicsPodcast.com.
That's the title of today's book, or podcast.
Hate mail.
We should just call it Burning Bridges.
What are you going to mouth off about, Dave?
I already mouthed off about George Perez 2 weeks ago.
That's right. I heard that. I did hear that.
I feel so bad.
I got that hate mail already.
He's just like, if I can see him, I can see fine. He's good.
Well, now we have the name of the Facebook page, Facebook Comics Hate Mail.
It's been called that a while. I want to see more Marvel books that I like, because I do. I like Marvel. Like, I do like Marvel characters, but I've just not seen...
That's an announcement. We're getting a Squirrel Girl book.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, okay.
Where's she been? On vacation? Like, yeah, she's been gone for a long time.
She's been watching Luke Cage's Baby. Come on.
Where's Luke Cage?
Mighty Avengers, yeah.
Is she in Mighty Avengers? Wait, Mighty Avengers, that's still out?
You'll have to ask one of the two people that buy it.
Again, Mighty Avengers, there's the book. No, I really, seriously, the one I don't understand is Cyclops. I don't understand why they would give Cyclops his own book.
That one was weird.
That ever has existed. Yeah.
Well, no, but the problem with that one is, like, I remember it started off as a Greg Rucka book with Russell Dodderman, who, I forget what book he did last week. He did some new book. Darn it. It was great. Thor. He did Thor. And the art in that was fantastic. The new Thor book. And he left Cyclops to do that book. And now Rucka's leaving Cyclops. I'm like, okay, so what's the point of this Cyclops thing?
I thought with Rucka leaving, they were going to cancel it.
I don't think so. I know they put a new writer on it.
Really?
I can understand a Cyclops miniseries. Is it a miniseries?
No, it was an ongoing.
See, that's what I don't get. Storm.
The ongoing adventures
Storm?
Of Cyclops.
Is Storm
and Corsair?
An ongoing?
Yeah, it is.
See, Storm. Storm ever. I just feel like those are just, like, desperate grabs to keep X-Men going, because, like, X-Men's not doing very well.
I think Storm exists just so Marvel could say, look, we have another female-driven book.
Yeah, which I think it is. I know they're trying to get more women readers, but... Don't just give them something because you have to. Give them something because you want to make something.
Yeah,
like,
something that
makes sense. Yeah. Like, don't just be like, oh, we got women characters. Give them a Storm book. They'll shut up now. You know, that's basically what it seems like to me. You know, so, you know, do it because there's plenty of, like, okay, Marvel doesn't have a very, like, they have a lot of female characters, but they don't have, like, A-list female characters, which I wish they had.
I just mentioned Squirrel Girl. Come on.
Oh, yeah, Squirrel Girl. That's true. Yeah. She controls squirrels.
Some are doing bad, like...
That just annoys Thanos. He's just like, I'm leaving. I'm too annoyed. Forget this planet.
I think I read the other day the new Ms. Marvel book was supposed to be canceled by... Or they thought it'd be canceled by number 7.
Yeah.
And it's still going strong.
That's the one... I well, like, by the looks of it, it's kind of a new idea.
Yeah.
It's an old name, but a new idea.
Mm-hmm. It's a completely different take on
that's
the character.
That's what people are looking for. That's what I'm looking for in these characters.
It's not just putting the female character there. They're... You know, writing this book in a way that really like targets the audience or is for the audience. It has a purpose of being there, not just look, it's a female driven book.
And then one of their most like popular female X-Men characters that was actually a strong character, they kill off all the time. Jean Grey.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No, they don't keep her.
She's alive.
Not that one. That one doesn't count. especially when Bendis is still writing it.
Call me Mr. Negative. Jeez.
Here's another female character that... they try with Spider-Woman. They really do, but it's just...
Got a new Spider-Woman book coming.
She just doesn't... And look how it starts. Look at the news they started with. Yeah.
How about Kitty Pryde?
I don't know if Kitty Pryde can hold a book.
I don't think she could either, but she makes... I like her as a character.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
In the team, but then again, we don't have...
But not everybody needs to carry a book. Like Black Widow... I read, and it was like, okay, it's the same thing. It's, you know, hooker with a heart of gold, you know, type of thing. Or assassin with a heart of gold type of thing. No, but it's that story is, oh, I'm doing these things, but I don't want to because I really want, you know, be better. And it's like, okay.
Why can't they make teams again? Why can't they make known teams again of characters? Why can't they throw women characters on it? Why can't they make Black Widow an Avenger in a book and you know, have a set team of these people. X-Men, same way. We don't know who the X-Men are anymore. We don't know who the Avengers are anymore. So that's pretty well gone. Now, if nobody knows who they are, and you have your new readers coming in who just got out seeing the movies, and they're looking for these characters in the books, and they're just like, Hyperion? Who's Hyperion?
I love Hyperion. Oh, sure.
And then, yeah, you get... How many kids do you get coming in here anymore? It's like, you got a Hyperion? That's what I'm looking for. That's the thing, though. But then... They're going to do something like this whole Fantastic Four thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to make some sort of difference.
Okay. I just got a text that I need to be home in half an hour. So, I'm just saying, let's get a little more focused as opposed to Hyperion and the Wonder Nazis. So.
Wonder Nazis? That's what I don't he think was talking about. The same podcast.
So, let's move on to last week's books. I want to talk about this week's books, but Adam said I wasn't allowed.
You know what I'm talking about? This is okay. This week.
Which book do you want to talk about this week?
No. Sixes. No. Batman. No. Sabrina. Now, that was a book.
Yeah, except that cover was
terrible. No, stop it. That's an awesome cover.
Tell everybody come in and get it.
You need to... Everybody listening to this podcast needs to come in and get a Sabrina.
Colin will sign them for you as
I
well.
I will.
No, now they're going to not come and get it.
Oh, well, I won't sign it then. Whatever you want. But Sabrina was really good. Like old school EC horror story. It was very, very good. It was the only book I read last night. It was
even though you took a pile that was like...
I read a couple more this morning.
Colin's review is biased because his logo was on the cover.
That is true.
He's just like, it had a good cover.
It had a great cover.
Cover art.
A Francesco Francavilla cover.
An amazing store logo on the front.
With her running past the store and the monster
she was
chasing
running
her.
Out of it. Like, who is in there?
That didn't actually happen in the story, sadly. There you go. See?
Oh, yeah. He's in the store. That's you.
I'm in the door. Yeah, that's me in the door of the store. Exactly.
That's Colin saying, but I have Hyperion books.
Yes.
Hyperion.
Colin, why are you doing like the Nazi thing in that?
Yeah.
It's Adam.
What kind of store is that?
Adam showed me how to do that.
What? I'm a bad influence. What? Yeah, he's trying to sell... It looks like Swamp Thing. It's kind of funny. It's very green.
Come back, I have Hyperion.
It is a nice cover.
No, but it was a really good book. Really good book.
Does it tie in to Archie? Like, does it give you anything about Archie?
No, there's nothing in Archie. Well, there will be in the fact that they moved to Riverdale because they needed to get away from her home town.
So is that where your store is located at?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the store actually wasn't in the store. There was no comic book store.
Peter's Township.
Yeah. No. This is almost like Riverdale.
McMurray.
Yeah, it's very much like Riverdale.
But
I'll go to Pop. Here, sometime.
Okay. Let me talk about some of last week's number ones, just a quick review. Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier. I didn't get that book at all. Interesting art. And it very much was designed around that. It wasn't a real straightforward book. It was very much watercolors and splash pages and stuff. But the story was just didn't really work. Because you definitely didn't get the impression when Nick Fury was the man on the wall that he had help every step along the way. It just made it look more like he was the one doing it. And it opened with him getting captured by these people. And then it was... Darn it. It was the girl from Secret Warriors who Nick Fury trusted to run that team. And then I think she had a high position in S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while. But she was like just a young girl. But she was there with him and killed somebody that was holding him prisoner. And then he's like, there you go, people, you're free. It's like, no, he's there to not right galactic wrongs. He was there to protect Earth. So it just, that opening story didn't make a whole lot of sense. Betsy, darn it, sorry. I did not really care for that one.
Betsy.
I forget what her name
was. Is it Daisy?
Daisy, yes, Daisy. Thank you.
Is she the earthquake girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Quake. Yeah.
Quake, yeah.
So, but she was like helping, and then he went later and he asked Namor for help. And it's like, oh, you already know Nick Fury was doing all this. And then they interrupt like a drug shipment underground. And Namor's like, well, I'll just take these drugs. And he's popping pills. It was just really, really weird. It just, yeah.
At least they're acknowledging Nick Fury anymore. Like, they're not just focusing on that part of the one from Secret Avengers.
Right,
Nick
no.
Fury Jr.
No.
Like, they're at least going back a little bit. Maybe yeah. They took that as... But they kept the character, at least. Like, they're still working with that character. If they created it, they might as well use it.
Okay, next one, Damnation of Charlie Wormwood. The main reason I read this one is I know it was written by somebody who owns a store, so they're in my comics pro group, and they're like, please order this one. So I read it. Interesting, it's a guy who teaches English in, like, a prison, and his son is really sick, and the medical bills are piling up, and he doesn't know what to do, you know, money-wise, and thinks his wife's having an affair, and all this fun stuff's going on. And this one guy who's not in his class but keeps talking to him and knows what's going on, and he went to teach like a computer class or something for some extra money because somebody was out, and this one guy starts threatening him, and all of a sudden this other guy kind of comes in and, you know, puts him in his place, and he's like, you know, I know you need help, and I know you can, you know, you can help me. He's like, oh, I'm not going to do anything dirty, da da. Well, it turns out he has a photographic memory. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they're going to use him for. This guy is going to just show him something, and then he'll be able to go out and tell his helpers out in the real world. So it was interesting. We'll see. Death of Wolverine 3.
See that yet?
It was a good story. My only concern is at the end of it, he finds out the name of the person that put the hit on him. And he's like, oh, man, that goes way back. So it's somebody that... I'm assuming we don't know who it is, but somebody from way back in his past. I'm like,
did he tell the reader who the person?
They gave the name, but that's all you knew. And it wasn't familiar to me. And I'm just like, well, wait a minute now. So you have one issue left, and you're going to have to introduce this old character, and then there has to be some meaning to this guy killing Wolverine. And it has me kind of almost thinking that we're not going to actually see the death of Wolverine in issue 4.
What if he doesn't really die?
That's what I'm thinking. It might be a more of a case of like Old Man Logan, where he just decides not to be Wolverine anymore. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
Death of the Mantle.
And next week is Death of Wolverine 4, but it's also the first issue of the Logan Legacy. It's like, okay, so this got behind. That was kind of funny. Today came out Nightcrawler with on the cover him lighting a candle to Wolverine. I'm like, wow, he's not even dead yet and he's mourning him. That's pretty good. The Fade Out number 2 came out. That just real good 40s Hollywood story. You know, a starlet was murdered in the first issue. This one writer who has writer's block and is actually the guy who's helping him write has been blacklisted, but he has a drinking problem. Just a lot of intrigue and stuff. The text piece at the end was fantastic in this one.
I read that. It was really
good. Yeah, that was good. The first one was good, too. This one was about Fatty Arbuckle and stuff. So that was neat. Gotham Academy number one. I'm not the target audience for this book, but I thought it was good. Basically, it's about a... I'm not a teen girl in a boarding school in Gotham City.
I never knew that.
That's like saying, well, Adam put back Batgirl today because he's like, I don't think I'm the target market for this one.
I still bought it. I'm gonna
give it a shot. But it was real good. Basically, it's, you know, don't go to the North Tower. It's haunted, and Bruce Wayne knows who she is, and it was fun. It was a fun book. It was good. I mean, not a lot of substance to it, but it was good. You know, fun, and again, we need more teen girl books, so that's good.
Comics at all?
No, they don't.
Because you have one of those teen girls.
I do have a teen girl. Yeah, maybe I'll work on her. I'll start working on her. That's who was texting me going, when are you coming home? Nana wants to go home. So, Guardians 3000 was a good book, did a good job introducing you to all the different characters from that team that is not the Groot and Rocket Raccoon team. It does have Yondu, though.
Different Yondu from the movie.
Yes. Now, my only problem with it is basically I saw this movie this summer, and it was called Edge of Darkness or whatever it was, that Tom Cruise movie.
It was the same thing.
Because
I thought that
way. Basically, it starts, and everybody gets killed during it, and then she, like, wakes up, and it's the beginning again, and she decides to try to change something this time. And I'm just reading it going, okay, I saw this.
But, like, things changed on her. Like, yes, yeah. Like, what's her name, Darkhawk?
Yeah. The character's name? I don't remember, but yeah.
It was a guy, and then when everything restarts, it's not a woman. And it made me double take, because it was just like, wait a minute, that's not right. I went back,
so
and I said,
it was interesting, but still, it's kind of like, okay. But they did a good job introducing everybody.
I thought that
everybody.
When I was reading the book, I was like, this sounds like that movie Colin was talking about.
Justice League 34, and I'm happy to see Justice League 35 is coming out next week, so they're getting caught back up. I thought it was really good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Justice League's really been knocking it out. It's every issue post Forever Evil has been really, really good. And that last page reveal was fantastic. Kind of like the last page of Batman this week, where you're just like, whoa, I did not see that.
I almost forgot that he was still in play until the
absolutely,
the last
yes.
And then
it's been long enough that you forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was done.
So,
perfectly.
But yeah, Justice League. Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but basically it's showing Captain Cold's going to turn.
I don't buy that, though.
Or he might just be trying to push his guys off.
Yeah, because in the Flash books, whenever, you know, future Flash is traveling back, he visits Captain Cold on his deathbed, and he mentions how, you know, he never thought that he would, you know, stick with it, but he managed to keep being...
Cool.
That's what I was saying about him on the TV show, how he's, like, on that fine line.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's always been, like, their way of doing that, especially since Flashpoint, where in Flashpoint he was the hero of that city. So I think that's where they're heading for. He can work as that character. I really think he can.
Yeah, I was thinking Future's End. I don't specifically remember what happened other than it had Superman on the cover and Superman wasn't inside at all.
What did happen in Future's End?
I don't remember.
I remember there was a scene. I can't remember. It was good, but I can't remember specifically anymore. It just blurs.
It's part of the weekly books. It starts to get kind of...
Yeah, trying to separate. Thor number one. I thought it was really good. New Thor didn't show up until the very last page. We don't know who it is, but I think I know who it is.
Is it the person that your other customer loves so much? Professor Dude?
No, it's not Angela. Well, I don't think it's Angela. It's interesting because it's limited to who it could be because the hammer's on the moon. So it has to be someone who can get to the moon. My guess, just to give everything away, is his mom. Yes, because
mom?
Because it was a very interesting scene where they're there and basically Odin's saying, well, I'm back. You know, I realize you were running the kingdom while I was gone, but you need to get back to the kitchen. The men are in charge again. And just really putting her down at every turn. And you have her, this woman comes up and basically goes, the world always needs a Thor. And then she's standing there holding the hammer. Thor takes on Malekith, who's doing something underneath the ocean, and he shows up on a horse with his axe, and it doesn't go well because he doesn't have the power of Thor, and he suffers a fairly catastrophic injury. So we'll see where that's going. Yeah, he's now, we call him Lefty because he lost an arm.
Like Aquaman.
Yeah. Uncanny Avengers 25, I didn't really read. I just kind of sped through it to see what was going on leading into Axis, and it basically was the scene where Magneto killed Red Skull, only to have him reborn.
Yeah.
As Tentacle Boy. And then Walking Dead 32. Whoa! Didn't see that coming. That got good. Did you read it? That got really good. Okay, well, I'm not going to give it away then. But yeah, that it had been kind of wandering for a few issues here, and you were wondering about the dead talking and stuff like that. All is explained.
Are they talking?
Yes, but they're not dead. Basically, people are sewing themselves inside corpses to move amongst the dead.
That's awesome.
But that's why they were talking.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was pretty creepy. So, those are the ones I read.
You didn't read Justice League 3000?
No, I didn't.
I didn't. I just started reading the number ones.
It was the ending, that's my big thing.
That arc.
Yeah, then finally.
Was it? Okay. Five. Yeah, I want to.
It was good. I liked it.
Okay, cool. Trade comes out next week.
Spider-Man, the
Edge
last
of Edge of Spider-Verse. That was a creepy book.
That was a weird book. That's what I've been telling everybody. I was just like, I thought it was good. Like,
halfway through, that book shifted drastically from how it started out.
Uh-huh.
And by the end, I was like, this was kind of like a horror book.
Yeah, it was. It's like, what if, like, you know, it was kind of almost like a what if that he, I forget the character's name. It was like similar to Patton. Peter Parker. Yeah. Something like that.
Spatton, Splatton, Patton.
Yeah, they were calling him that. But the kid's kind of messed Patton up anyways. Because
what?
He, kid's kind of messed up anyways. Like at the beginning, he's like outside, like with a magnifying glass killing ants.
Yeah.
And he has like experimental members to all of them.
He's almost like
a mad scientist.
He's like if Doc Ock literally were Peter Parker.
Yeah. That's like kind of it.
Yeah.
He has like an uncle. Instead, it's like his name is Uncle Ted.
Yeah.
And he's abusive. And then the girl next door is like not Mary Jane. It's Sarah Jane. And basically, his school's going on a field trip to Owlcorp, which is the name of it. And they go, and Sarah Jane starts talking to him, which he's a little confused about because he's like, well, you've never really talked to me. But she has a plan of going to save the animals that they experiment on at Owlcorp. And for some reason, and this is the whole thing, the only one thing that I just didn't understand at all, for some reason, what do we say his name was? Patton?
Patton.
Patton decides to save a spider.
And like,
and he sticks his hand in.
This spider is shown to be about the size of a softball.
Yeah.
And he just reaches in.
And I keep telling everybody, it's almost like the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where he goes into the pet store, and it's on fire, and he like saves all the animals, but he gets to the snakes. And he's just like, and then he's like, he doesn't want to, but then he just comes out with them all on him.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, because I was just like, he's saving the spider? Well, sure enough, the spider bites him. So I know everybody's shocked. That is a spoiler alert and everything, but
he's holding that spider for a while, though. He picks up, he's like, oh, this thing's beautiful.
Yeah, he's like, look at this thing. And that spider is like, this is ridiculous. Doesn't he know I'm venomous? Spider bites him. Sure enough, just like Spider-Man, he starts developing spider-like powers.
And then it gets creepy.
And then it starts getting weird, because not only does he take on spider powers, he develops a hunger.
Yeah.
And he actually starts, like, wrapping things in webs. What was the first thing?
Even before that, like, before the cat, he goes to the kitchen, to the fridge, and suddenly it flashes to a mouse trap.
Yeah, he gets the mouse.
And you see him grabbing the mouse, and then the mouse just halfway hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, he just eats it. Like, he straight up devours it.
And then after that, he decides to go for the cat, but the cat claws
him. The cat tries to run away, but he webs it.
He does web it.
And then he wraps it, because you can see it in the room. It, all you see is a tail.
And then his hunger keeps, I guess it, like, he keeps getting stronger as he eats things. And then Uncle Ted comes home, and that didn't go very well for Uncle Ted.
Yeah, he decides to go, and he takes on Uncle Ted finally, and he wraps Well, they don't show you that exactly, but a little bit later on, he goes to school, and you can see subtle mutations that he's taken, especially with his teeth. His teeth start to become fangs.
And technically, he breeds with Uncle Ted.
Yeah, he goes to school, and there's a Flash Thompson-like bully, and he says, you know... He gets in a fight. He's going to get into a fight.
Well, yeah, he's in his locker, and because he was going to eat that bird that he had wrapped up in the webbing.
And he must smart him off or something.
The Flash Thompson character comes up and slams the locker and says, splat and patting, and they decide to fight.
He says, we're going to fight, and he makes a meeting place, but then you're assuming that he kills this kid and most likely eats him. But then he goes to... They go back to the house, and I think he has Sarah Jane with him.
No, he gets at the house, and Sarah Jane shows up.
Yeah, she shows up.
At the house.
And he has Uncle Ted wrapped to the bed. Now, he's already bit him.
But right before this, he starts hitting on Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
And goes in, kisses her, then all of a sudden bites her.
Bites her in the neck.
And there was teased this prior when he was researching the spider that bit him, and he mentioned that particular spider lays its eggs in its bite.
Yeah, and that's the female species of this spider, and this one was a female. And they made it clear at the beginning of the book, it showed on the tag of the spider, female, that it actually lays eggs inside of the bite. So all of a sudden, Uncle Ted, basically bursts open, and all these little spiders just crawl out of him, and then.
She hits him.
She hits him, yeah, with something. I don't remember what she goes after him. She makes a run for it. She runs out of the house.
He starts to suddenly look like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
Yeah, he starts, he gains the arms. He starts turning, he has extra eyes, stuff like that. And then his face, his skin peeled off. Yeah, his skin was falling off. I think that's when she hit him. The skin came off of his face. But she runs out of the room. He tries to chase after him, and all of a sudden, Morlun shows up, who's not necessarily a big character, but because you're assuming that he's dead from the other, because they haven't showed him. So this must be like a past story of Morlun. Morlun shows up, and you're assuming, I'm assuming they never show anything though, that Morlun, absorbs him basically.
He rips off his arm, he impales him, he definitely jacks up this spider.
And he, but I'm not sure exactly. I mean, you think he would, because that's what his point is. But being that they didn't really show us anything, it could lead that maybe they'll use this character again, and there's more of a point to him, but I don't know.
Even if they don't, do they still have a tease with the very end with Sarah Jane?
Yeah, and then Sarah Jane, being that she's bit.
You see the spider bite.
The spiders come out of her bite.
Yeah, crawling underneath.
And that's how it ends. And it was kind of a scary book, actually.
It was like,
what if Spider-Man was a horror story? Book. And that's basically what it was. One of my favorites, I think, of the whole thing. It was just different.
I think out of these Edge of the Spider-Verse ones, that's my favorite.
That one was
so
good.
Far.
I did like the one before it, and I can't remember what any of these are called or what their names. I know it was called The Spider-Man.
The one right before it I didn't love, where he's the scientist.
The only thing I liked about that was he was going after this enemy who turned out at the end, spoilers again if you haven't read this, but... the enemy was, the daughter of his boss that was, injured at the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
And she was in a coma, and it turned out that this woman was making more than prosthetics, which she was a scientist of prosthetics, but she was trying to save her daughter by turning her into a machine. But basically, the machine took over, and they just created hundreds of these just to take over the city.
Yeah.
And I think they might have something. I'm not sure, but what I was reading, it seems like they have something more to do with what's going on with not Morlun, but Morlun's family, if that's what they're from or something. There's something more to them than what we're seeing. So the character was interesting, kind of an Octavius Moore character, but he was a decent Spider-Man.
Yeah, both the past two issues, both the Peter Parker characters had that Otto Octavius feel.
Yeah, they had a
one was more of the good guy, and the other one was the
monster Spider-Man also went to Otto Octavius High.
That's right. Yeah,
I thought that was kind of funny, and it was Otto Octavius standing there in a statue. So he exists in that world, but Yeah, better than the Gwen Stacy one. I think that might be the last one on my list, though. I like noir. I really like noir, and I like this horror story. What's the next one for that?
Next week, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Like, it just says spider at the top, but it's like in a programming code. Okay. It's like SP, then 2 backslashes, then another, DR. Maybe it's and then there's some like Asian characters beneath it, so I guess it's some...
Anime Spider-Man.
Yeah. Okay, what else you got?
Wait, did that come out this week?
What?
Edge of the Spider...
Next week. No, that's the only one I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave. I don't have my list.
I just want to mention Red Justice League was really good. Yeah. I like Scott Collins did a good job on the art. I like the first page with the Flash and Captain Cold. Getting to see him do those characters again. I read Men of Wrath, number one.
The new Jason Aaron book. Okay.
From Marvel Icon. Very... very disturbing.
Okay.
even for Jason Aaron, I mean, this it's a story of family and how violence is passed down from generation to generation. The main character, Ira Wrath, R-A-T-H. I guess he's a hitman. And the beginning has him killing a couple and throwing their baby into, like, mud, a pool of mud.
Okay.
Very, very disturbing. And it was just so nonchalant. You didn't expect that to happen, and he just does that. And then it turns out he has cancer, and the next person he has to go after is his son, who is a criminal, but he doesn't seem to be like the most cerebral criminal. He's robbing a convenience store at the end of the issue. I hate to say I enjoyed it, but...
Okay, that's okay.
You sicko.
Because I am a sicko. I read X-Files Year Zero, number 3, Creation of the X-Files. It was good. They're still chasing after this Mr. Zero guy this unknown guy who passed notes to the FBI in the 40s, and he's back in the present time, and they finally come face to face with him at the end of the issue. So I want to see where that goes next time. And the art's good. It's the best likenesses of Mulder and Scully in any of the books so far.
Okay.
And that's it. Everything else is mentioned.
Any of you guys read the start of the Green Lantern event?
Go ahead. I just read it here. I thought that was good. I mean, it's pretty much summarized the New Gods pretty good.
So the premise of it is it's showing this pending battle or war between the New Gods and Apocalypse, which we're seeing Apocalypse a lot lately, at least for the past year or so in DC. But
it's kind of like Thanos and
Marvel.
Well, they're pulling it up, I think, mainly for Geoff Johns' big Justice League story that's going to be coming up.
So Highfather is trying to get the life equation to be able to battle Darkseid if he has the anti-life equation. So it leads him to, you know, discover the source wall when the only beings went beyond the source wall were the lanterns when all the colors combined into white. So the first, like, the Godhead book, you see them, trying to get a hold of one ring of each color, and you think they're going to drag it out, but it's pretty, like, quick and to the point. Like, you know, every 2 pages are them going to a different, you know, color of the spectrum and either, you know, brutally or, you know, in some clever way getting their rings. And, I mean, the book had, what was it, like, 3 different artists on it, something like that?
I think around there. You were saying something about three.
You know, it had a very, like, stylized look where, you know, on one page you may see multiple artists with the different panels, and it kind of worked all together. It wasn't, you know, a jarring transition at all.
Yeah.
But those highlight panels.
Yeah, the highlight panels, like, it almost had, like, an action cartoony look to it, where it's just, you know, very bright, like, high contrast white and red panels where there was action going on.
Oh, they do that. They've been doing that a lot. You mean that it's like It's like only like two colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do that on a Green Lantern Corps, okay. where they'll have like black or white and red. Like, but red will be the main, or it's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's just like two colored only, you know, that they'll use. What's I gonna say? Oh, you know, a lot of people were complaining about the fold out. I didn't have it, like, the only, besides the only issue that I saw with it was the cut off of his face of High Fathers, but like a lot of people were complaining about the fold out. I didn't really have that much of a problem. My biggest problem with fold out pages has been that, I think it was Superman Unchained, that they had that big poster that came out of it. Like, that was the problem. I was like, this is obnoxious. Like, but that didn't bother me so much.
Just sure they're saying it didn't line up because the two pages were supposed to line up.
It's kind of minor.
Well, that was one of my things. But now a lot of people were just complaining that they had to do something.
Was it a lot of people or was it just you?
No, my only complaint was the lineup. That his face was missing.
Why do I have to unfold these pages? It's too much work.
There's a lot of I don't know. Like I was talking to a few people Saturday here about that.
My only confusion with the fold out is I always wonder which ones do I read first? Like,
yeah, do you read across or open?
That one was difficult because I started reading. I didn't know where. Because I didn't know where it was aligned, and then I said. I was reading it that way, and basically you just have to go by what the words are saying. Yeah. And if it works, it works. And
it's
a little more difficult if they have a lot going on in one big thing.
Yeah.
Big spread, but.
But I mean, the book was. I mean, there's a lot of action. It really set up the story well. I don't know how they're going to drag this out for 3 months, going through all these different books. But I mean, so far the it was off to a pretty solid start. It ends with High Father, you know. Trying to find the White Lantern because, you know, he needs a White Lantern to get past the Source One, get the life equation, and determine that the rings are too powerful for, you know, these, you know, primitive humans to have.
And as far as the Green Lanterns know, he's dead.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't really know he's alive. So, I think it's going to be a cool event. I mean, the covers.
Yeah, the covers are great.
I just love
the covers
them. What's the next one for that?
Green Lantern Corps came out today.
Yeah. Corps came out today.
And next week is probably New Guardians.
Okay.
Okay, anything else?
Okay.
Just like.
Oh, one book I'll just mention real quick. I really liked, Pat was mentioning it the other day, but Daredevil was really good with the Purple Kids.
Okay.
Really good
purple
story.
Purple Kids, nice.
Yeah. And they kind of put an end to Purple Man. Like, he explained that on the last episode, but no, it's really worth picking up. Go.
Cool. Okay. Just because I got the. Nana has to go.
I just wanted to
You've got the register cashed out already, got your bag.
I know. Well, I just try and take care of stuff without interrupting.
I'm just going to walk right out of here.
No, no. Well, I could, but no. So, shipping next week, much a lot less than this week. Not a lot less, but lots of good stuff. We got Avengers. We got Axis 2.
Oh, it's a weekly?
It's 3 times a month for 3 months.
That's stupid.
I don't even know what that...
How do you
say monthly, bi-monthly, I get you, but I'm not going to do math. I know.
It's coming out sometime.
Yeah. Batman and Robin 35, which is the next part of Robin Rises.
Oh, getting pretty close to the new Robin.
Yeah. Deadpool Art of War number 1. Death of Wolverine number 4. Final Death. Death of Wolverine Logan Legacy number 1. Doctor Who the 12th Doctor number 1. That's the Peter Capaldi Doctor. Edge of Spider-Verse number 5. Green Lantern New Guardians number 35, Godhead. Justice League 35 and Justice League 3000 trade paperback volume 1, which I do believe everyone on this podcast would heartily recommend.
Yes.
Well, maybe not Dave, because I don't know if Dave's reading it, but I know Pat's reading it. Like
what book is it?
Justice League 3000.
Yeah.
New Avengers 25, Time Runs Out. And the one everybody's been waiting for, Original Sin Annual number 1. San Hannibal number 4, that's just a personal favorite, but I'm liking that one. Sleepy Hollow number 1, that's one, but tying in with the TV show. Spider-Man 2099, that one is tying into Edge of Spider-Verse. Teen Titans number 3, which is what people have been enjoying. The Toon Tumbler bombshells are coming out, which is basically, if you remember the bombshell covers, they're doing Toon Tumblers of those. So those are coming out next week, or at least some of them are. Seven Toon of them tumblers? Are. Glasses. The glasses.
Okay.
Trinity of Sin number 1. The Pandora Phantom Stranger question book. And that's about it as far as highlighting. Lots of good stuff, but just not enough, you know, not a lot to...
But you don't sell anything here. Yeah.
I sell all sorts of
things. Nothing good. No reason to come in.
All sorts of good things to come in and get. Yes, but yes, please, come and get access. You could buy two and come by Sabrina, so I don't lose my shirt on Sabrina. I only need to sell 150 of those to break even, so please come buy some Sabrinas.
How many of you sold so far today?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. A lot. A lot of people bought them.
Everybody's buying them. They're that cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
so
want to be one of the cool kids.
We're probably not real it's close because I still have week. Boxes yeah. of them, but
that's the cover of the week here in Pittsburgh.
It is, yeah. It is. It's pretty darn cool, and it's going to be good for Halloween. It's nice orange and black. But like I said, the story itself was really good. That was the only book I read last night before falling asleep on the sofa.
Did we mention to come and get access? Good.
Yeah, come get access. Get I have plenty of access. You can get Batman, which has a big surprise at the end. It's probably been ruined online, but
it's got red.
Batman was awesome.
Yes.
I didn't read the backup story yet, but
no,
the main story was awesome.
But, and you know, it's funny because it's got a backup story, but it's by Kelly Jones. You know, not exactly...
Yeah.
And that's perfect for the October issue, so...
You said Batman was awesome, but
well,
Batman
read it.
Just is awesome.
Right, but the issue oh, that... And
so
that's a podcast.
Batman Flack.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next
oh,
week.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. See,
yeah, that's a podcast.
What? That is a podcast. You weren't going to say it, so I had to say it. Way to go.
Stopped it.
So I didn't stop it yet. So we'll talk to you next week. Bye.